It is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, as we have been traveling recently through the Sermon on the Mount, we come to Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." This is God's word for God's people. You remember when a man's word was worth something? We don't seem so much to be living in an age where that's the case anymore. Robin and I were listening to the radio last night, and they were talking about this fellow. His name is Rick Dyer. Has anybody heard of Rick Dyer? He's been all over the news recently. There have been some like news stories on CNN, but I'm guessing people probably aren't paying a whole lot of attention to him. You see, sometime last year, or it might have been at the end of 2012, he killed a Bigfoot in the state of Texas, and he's getting ready to take the body of this creature on tour around the country. He's got it in the back of a trailer, and you can look at it for $10 a gander, if you can believe that. He's not submitting it for scientific tests. And the funny thing is, you might, if the name does sound familiar to you, it might be because in 2008, he did the same thing. Only it turned out to be a rubber gorilla suit filled with animal parts, and he was dragging it around in a freezer. And when somebody finally called shenanigans on him, he said, you're all a bunch of idiots, ha, 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 and ran off into the woods, not to be seen for years. And now he's back with another one that he's not letting anybody get too close to, because they're going to find out it's probably another rubber suit full of animal parts. And yet, they're parading him in front of the news as if he has something, because he swears up and down this time it's real. Does anybody here believe him? I don't. And just so you know, you almost had a picture of Bigfoot on the cover of your bulletins this week because of that. And I wanted to see if anybody would notice there was a Bigfoot on the cover of your bulletins. But that seems to be the way things are heading these days. I don't know if this guy thinks he's P.T. Barnum or something, but I think P.T. Barnum had a little more class than to just call everybody suckers. I mean, he did say there's a sucker born every minute, didn't he? That was P.T. Barnum, wasn't it? I think so. But he didn't just run around calling everybody suckers like Dyer did. Now, I compare him to another man. Yesterday morning, Ruby was at her Taekwondo school testing for her blue belt, which she got, by the way. And at the end of all the testing, they had all the kids out there testing, and everybody did really well. And there's like a panel of judges making sure everybody's doing everything right. And the teacher of the school, his name is Yong Bo Kong, Grandmaster Kong, we refer to him as. He was a world champion for 2 years. Pardon? Twice world champion at his art. And despite the fact that I believe he's 80 years old, he's still teaching. And to be honest with you, I'm a little bit afraid of the guy, because I'm pretty sure he could kick my head off if he tried. I hope he doesn't. But one of the he unfortunately wasn't able to be there yesterday because he's out of town. But one of the other masters who was leading the testing at the end was talking about Master Kong, and he said, "I was thinking the other day about what it is I admire so much about this man." And he said, "I finally boiled it down to this. When Grandmaster Kong tells you he's going to do something, he does it." Now, this is so rare today. This is so rare today. It just seems so rare today that when somebody says they're going to do something, they do it. I mean, that's the way I was raised. My dad always taught me, if you're going to do something, if you're going to say you're going to do something, then you do it. And unfortunately for me, that has turned into a point where I I don't make promises because I don't want to disappoint anybody. And I do. You know, I do my best to live up to my obligations. I do my best to do the things I say I'm going to do. I don't always, but I try to. But this teacher was saying, as it is with Grandmaster Kong, he will go to extremes to keep his word. Even when he decides it's really not a good idea to do what he said he was going to do, he does it anyway. If it becomes too difficult, the fact that to become a world champion twice requires work. It required, I believe he said, there were he would spend 7 hours a day working out 7 days a week, doing 100 sit-ups every day and 100 push-ups every day. 100 push-ups a day? My jaw just dropped open because I'll tell you the truth. I can't promise you I've done 100 push-ups in my life. But to go to as far as extremes to do what he said he was going to do. And that's why this teacher admires the Grand Master so much, because he keeps his word. What does that say about everybody else? I'm guessing this man has had a lot of disappointment in his life. He was talking about the fact that he, you know, having gone through school and having served in the military and just lived his life, has faced a lot of disappointment from a lot of people. And I think we all have, from things that have been promised to us and those promises broken. We've all had promises made to us that have been broken, and we've all been disappointed by such. But at the same time, I think we've all made promises and we've broken them, and someone else has been disappointed. We are told in Scripture not to make oaths we're not going to keep. I was listening to someone not long ago. They were talking about a court case, and they still, in a lot of courtrooms, and they don't do it in all of them, but you still put your hand on the Bible and you swear that you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There are some courts, though, where they don't do that. They just make you promise to tell the truth. There are some courts where instead of a Bible, they're using the Quran. And I guess that's okay, but to tell you the truth, I don't think anybody is any more likely to keep their word, whatever book they put their hand on, whether it's the Bible, the Quran, the phone book, Tom Sawyer, it could be anything. People don't always keep their word. That's why we have lawyers. And I'm not even sure about most of them. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. In James's epistle, chapter 5, verse 12, he says, "Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned." One of the important things for us to remember here is the fact that it's okay to say no. It is okay to say no. A lot of people just are under this impression that if they're asked to do something, they have to, okay, I'll do that. And they go ahead and do it. Or they just say, yeah, I'll do that, and then they don't. It's okay to say no. It's okay to tell somebody, you know what, I don't have enough time for that. How less disappointed are they going to be if you say, no, I can't do that, they'll find somebody else to do it and it'll get done, than for you to say, yeah, I'll take care of it, and then you don't, and it doesn't happen. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say, I can't do that. But it's important that when we say yes, we mean it. It's important that if we have to go out of our way to fulfill our obligations, that we do that, or make plans at least. God wants us to keep our word. He wants us to keep our promises. He's promised us quite a lot. I don't know if anybody here has ever been in that situation where something is happening in your life and you go to the Lord in prayer and you promise things. You know, Lord, get me out of this mess, and I promise I'll come to church every Sunday. How many people have done that? And God comes through, doesn't he? And maybe we don't make it to church every Sunday or ever again. We'll even break promises to God, won't we? Oh, that's okay. He'll forgive us. Well, that's true, but that's no reason to break your word, for your yes not to mean yes. How would it be if the promises he has made to us went unfulfilled? And there are so many. There's lots of great little devotion books out there about God's promises, the promises that God makes to us. You know, like, I think I have one, it's even called God's Little Book of Promises. It's just Bible passages that have, it's just a list of all the things that God said he would do for us. And we get those little books and we look through them and we think about these things, and if there's something we need, we're happy to point out to him that, oh, by the way, God, you remember you made this promise. And we'll forget about the promises we made. We'll forget about the things we said we would do, not just for God, but for one another. And we expect him to live up to his promises and to live up to his word. And we know he will, because he's God and he's not going to lie. He's not going to deceive us, but we forget. There are times in our lives where we fall. There are times in our lives where we fail. There are promises that we break. Again, to the point where if we think about it, it's probably better for us not to make promises. I know as a new dad, I was very careful with Ruby not to promise anything I didn't think I could deliver on. And I think that frustrated her quite a lot, because I'd say I was going to try to do something and she'd ask me if I promised, and I'm not going to promise. I'm going to try, but I can't promise because I can't be sure I'd do it. I don't know if that was less disappointing or more, but as a dad, I try to do my best. As a husband, I try to do my best. As a pastor, I try to do my best. I fail. I stumble. I fall down. And I am sorry for my shortcomings. There are times I will need forgiveness from everyone in this room. And though we all stumble, we all fall, we all disappoint, we can be grateful for the forgiveness that God has for us. We all say we'll do something and we don't. Not always by our own fault. Not always because we're being malicious and we might just tell somebody we'll do something to get them out of our hair. Sometimes we try and fail. Sometimes we forget. I remember the last day that my father was able to speak. There was a long list of things he asked me to do for him, and none of them made any sense. I remember him. It seemed quite urgent and it seemed quite important. You see, there was a jug of milk under the cellar steps, and that needed to go on the roof. And there were some other things on the steps that needed to go on a shelf in the garage. And there was a sack of damp potatoes under the cellar steps that I needed to take and use to avenge his father's death. And I said, sure, Dad, I'll take care of those things. And my mom yelled at me, why are you telling your dad you're going to do these things when you're not? I said, well, you want me to argue with him? I just put his heart at ease. Maybe I lied. Well, I did, technically. None of those things needed to be done. It was taken care of, technically. But sometimes we tell untruths and we say these things just to calm people down, just to put someone's mind at ease. Whether it's right or wrong to do so, we do. There have been times I've wondered if I should have made those promises. And I look back and I know that there are other promises I made my dad that I broke, and my heart aches. I know there are promises I've made my daughter and my wife that I've broken, and my heart aches. And I know that as a man filled with faults, it will happen again, and my heart aches. But we continue to do our best. We need to think about the things we say we're going to do. And if we're going to do them, we need to do them. If we're not going to do them, we need to say we're not going to do them. Anything beyond this comes from the evil.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so we don't miss what came in front of it. Isn't it good that God's promises are not always contingent on us keeping ours? Isn't that good to know? I think so. Despite our sins, despite our shortcomings, God still loves us, and he still has a place for us. Although that doesn't completely put us off the hook. Consider, if you will, this day, the promises you have made. Perhaps there is someone you need to seek forgiveness from, someone for you, whom you have broken a promise. Perhaps there is someone in your life that you need to forgive who has broken a promise to you. Perhaps there are promises you have made that you have not fulfilled but can. You can still do so. Perhaps this is going to be a busy day or a busy week. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.